Welcome to Hogbeat Radio. I am Mason Choate, the publisher of Hogbeat.com. I have with me my guys, Riley McFerrin and Daniel Fair, part of the staff at Hogbeat.com. We got a lot of great stuff over there. Go check it out, because the Arkansas Razorbacks are opening their season on Thursday. We're going to be there at War Memorial. Not you, Daniel. Luckily, but we're going to be there at War Memorial, Arkansas versus UAPB. We're excited. Finally going to have some questions answered. And we have an absolutely loaded episode of Hogbeat Radio today, because we have a lot to talk about. A lot has happened since our last episode. Basically, everything official as far as what's going to happen for Arkansas tomorrow, we know now. Maybe like a few injury things that we got to talk about. But other than that, we're set, boys. The Razorbacks are set. Heck, they might be traveling down as we're recording this right now to Little Rock. So we're excited. We have a very fun episode, and it is all brought to you by Hogbeat.com, Hawgbeat.com, the Rivals website covering your Arkansas Razorbacks. That is us. We do a great job. We're very proud of our work and very thankful for everybody who interacts with it, who reads it. Very thankful for all of our subscribers, and you should join. You did miss out on our best deal of the year. It was 60% off our subscription. So that was, you're not going to get one better than that. But I always say on this show that if you really, really want to just read about the Razorbacks and you can't afford it, or you want to test it or whatever it may be, just shoot me a DM on Twitter and I'll help you out. I'll figure that out for you. We'll get you access to Hogbeat.com. So check us out. Very thankful for all that. All right, boys, let's get into it. I guess first thing, should we talk about the depth chart? Is that what we need to do? Or should we talk about Eli Stein no longer being with the team?
They kind of go hand in hand a little bit, because he is on the depth chart. He was listed or expected to be a starter at least somewhere. We thought he would be. So maybe let's knock out Eli Stein real quick.
Okay. Yep. Well, as we're recording this on Wednesday, the biggest news of the day is that Arkansas's starting long snapper for the past two seasons, Eli Stein, is no longer with the football team. We don't have like full details on that. We do know that Ashton Noe, who is a redshirt junior, former JUCO transfer out of Hutchinson Community College, he had already won the long snapping job for punting. So like that, Eli Stein was already not going to do that. And then Sam Pittman said that like Noe was, and it's spelled N-G-O, Noe was like right there as far as the short snapping for field goals. So I can't believe that the first piece of news we're talking about right now is the long snapper, but Ashton Noe is on scholarship now, and that's who's going to be your long snapper for Arkansas against UAPB.
Yeah, shout out Andover, Kansas. He's a former Andover Trojan, little suburb of Wichita. I'm very familiar with the Andover area, so shout out to him. I'm excited for him.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's tough because last week when we did our pick to click and we were doing special teams, I'm pretty sure – for whatever reason, I decided to go with Eli Stein. You know, he was on some watch list going into the season. I thought, you know, why not go with the long snapper? They don't get enough publicity, and now he's quit the team. So I'm kind of in a rough spot there.
Yeah, that's why you never go with the long snapper.
Yeah, I've learned from my lesson.
Yeah, you don't talk about the long snapper unless, they're kind of in a tough spot. Like, the only time you talk about the long snapper is when they do something bad. So
yeah,
you never hear about all their fantastically great snaps.
Yeah. Well, so that's obviously when a scholarship player leaves the team in game week, that's a big deal. So had to knock that out. But let's get to this depth chart, because that's when you look back through like the week. I really think that's where we need to start. So the first team offense was pretty much what we thought it was going to look like, guys, for the most part. No real surprises. Maybe just Rashad Abinion being an or with Jaquinna Jackson. Not because Rashad Abinion's not talented, but because we kind of feel like Jaquinna Jackson is the starter. I feel like Sam Pittman on Monday basically said the same thing. Like, Jaquinna Jackson's our starter. But Abinion, you know, provides a little bit of something different. Now, part of the injury thing that we're going to have to get to later with injuries, but Abinion, we'll have to talk about an injury with him. But really, the only other thing on the first team offense was just the left guard spot. And Riley, I feel like we talked about it. And Daniel, you know about this as well. It's just like, it was either Patrick Kudus, if healthy, or Amarian Harris, if not Patrick Kudus. And it's going to be, actually, I need to say this. It's Amarian. It's not Amarian. It's Amarian Harris. And he's going to start at left guard, and he's also going to be a captain. So shout out to Little Rock native for getting the start and being a captain. Any thoughts from the first team offense, guys? I think it was pretty cut and dry.
Yeah, I mean, first team offense, not too many surprises. You know, Marion, I've been saying Marion this entire time. Marion Harris, you know, he's gotten a lot of hype from his teammates and the coaching staff. He seems like he's ready to step up. I mean, Landon Jackson even yesterday said that he thought the switch from left tackle to guard for Marion, I'm doing it again, that he's playing better in that left guard spot than he was at left tackle, which is interesting because he's got that tackle frame at 6'7", 300 pounds. So, I mean, we'll see if he steps up against UAPB. I imagine he'll put on a pretty good performance against the Golden Lions, and he'll need to do that because with Patrick Kutis out for, you know, we don't know, right? Patrick Kutis, you know, apparently will be having some kind of checkup on Friday. You know, we'll get into that a little bit later, but they need Harris to step up against the Golden Lions on Thursday.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like, and going back to the running backs, I mean, they listed Dubinian and Jackson it kind of as oars. There's a part of me that thinks maybe they start out the game in a two running back set. You know, at that point, then they'd both be the starters, you know, in the game. But yeah, I think Marion Harris is primed for this for the opportunity. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot that we learn out of the offensive line today as far as how good they can be. We could definitely see how bad they can be.
Yeah,
I mean, last year, I mean, the red flag was there against Western Carolina last year when they couldn't move the ball on the ground. But you know, there's not a whole lot of positive feedback that we can get. There's definitely some negative feedback we can get out of this opening game. But I mean, it's depth chart looks about as solid as you can get out of this team in week one.
Yeah. Yeah, I went on a radio interview this morning, and I think the question was something along the lines of, like, what are you really looking for out of Arkansas against UAPB? Because, like, what can you really take away from this game? And my number one answer was, I just want to see the offensive line just completely dominate. I don't want to see them struggle at all. Because when I think back to last year, and Daniel, you hit on it, I mean, we left that game being like, Western Carolina kind of pushed them around a little bit. And yeah. So – that would be extremely concerning if this offensive line does not go out and have their way. First and second team offensive line, if we're being quite honest. And that's not just because of what you expect from Arkansas, but if you look at UAPB and just what they did defensively last year, they didn't do anything against FCS teams. So if they come and do something against Arkansas, maybe they're that much better, but I don't think that would be the case. I think that would be a concern on the part of Arkansas. So
I just hope both teams have a good time.
Yeah, yeah, and there's enough water in War Memorial Stadium with what are they calling them? Daniel,
the water monsters. The water monsters.
Yeah, we're gonna get to the great stadium debate, folks. Don't you worry. But we gotta keep going with this depth chart. So first team defense. This is where you start to see a lot of oars. Okay, the oar is literally just like, for example, at defensive end, Nico Davier or Anton Jukaj. So. I guess I would assume it would be Nico. But that really just lets you know that there's still a battle going on at that position. And so there's an or there. We saw Brad Spence, Xavier Sori, your starting linebackers, Danico Slaughter at the nickel spot, safety, Jaden Johnson, and then Hudson Clark or PJ Metcalf. So there's probably a lot of people interested in that one. Jalen Braxton, obviously one of the starting corners. And then at the other starting corner spot, you got three different names. So you got Marquise Robinson, who is Riley's guy, Jaheim Singletary, who is my guy, which means Daniel, you're stuck with Keon Stewart. I'm sorry.
Love it. I can live with that. It's not a bad pick.
Keon Stewart's improved, dude. I think compared to last year, I didn't really feel like he was playable, and it wasn't anything to do with him. It's just everybody else was playing better. This year, I think he's improved. It's his last year of eligibility, so we'll see how that goes. I know Singletary had a hamstring-type issue, so, I mean, I don't know what his health status is going to be, but Sam Pittman didn't mention him on Wednesday on the SEC teleconference, so I would assume he would be good to go. Anything defensively? Do we need to talk about the Hudson Clark, TJ Metcalf thing?
You know, you kind of touched on it. I think some Razorback fans looking at that are, you know, maybe had a nice sigh of relief. You know, I'm kind of skeptical on if Hudson Clark will lose that starting position this year. I mean, the coaching staff, like Sam Pittman loves him, his versatility, everything. I know, you know, the Metcalf brothers and especially TJ has had a really good offseason. And I think, you know, maybe an ideal scenario, he does push Hudson Clark for that starting spot. But if I had to guess, you know, barring any injuries or anything, Hudson Clark will kind of keep that position on lockdown.
Yeah, I think that that's how it'll start. I don't know that that's how it'll finish, though. I mean, TJ Metcalf is just he's extremely talented. I mean, they raved about him in fall camp. I wrote a story about him a couple weeks ago. But I feel like just his athletic ability is probably better than Hudson Clark's. Hudson's just got more experience and, you know, has obviously more rapport with the staff just from having been here since 2020.
Before Sam Pittman. He's literally been here since before Sam Pittman.
Yeah.
Every time Pittman gets the chance to say that, he says it too.
Yeah.
It's so crazy to me that, like, his coming out game was that three-interception game against Ole Miss back in 2020, which is four seasons ago. And, you know, we're still talking. I mean, we're still talking about Hudson Clark's three-interception performance. But
well, the craziest thing about it is that, like, I think he only has five career interceptions. So
yeah. One of those, I think one of those was against BYU in 2021.
It was, yes. He had one in that game.
That was one they were, the fans were dogging on him like that whole like season. And they were dogging on the whole secondary that season. And then, you know, he comes out with that. That was a clutch interception too, because that was a kind of a game defining drive, if I remember correctly. I think it was in the second quarter. BYU was rolling, but
that was actually the 2022 season, by the way, not 2021.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. You're right. That's right.
Once you said bad secondary, I was like, oh, that's 22, not 21.
Yeah, I got the years mixed up. But I think TJ Metcalf is more athletically gifted than Hudson Clark, which is not a slight to Hudson. You know, he's carved out a spot in a defense in the SEC for, you know, 4 years now. But I think it'll end up with TJ taking over that spot at some point during the season. And I want to look, I don't know if we're going to get to the second team, but I think Akari Johnson is also going to be pushing for some playing time later this year. True freshman out of Pleasant Grove High School in Texarkana. Played quarterback and defensive back down there. And just, he's also very athletically gifted. And I think he's one that'll push for some playing time as well.
Yeah. Well, we can go and transition to the second team defense while we're on the topic of it. Another freshman in the secondary that I think could play, you know, a decent bit is Selman Bridges at corner, man. What, Riley, I think one of my bold predictions was Selman Bridges becomes a starter at corner. So
that was one of your bold predictions.
So I like Selman Bridges. He's the only guy listed as a second team corner because you have all those oars with the other guys. And then it's safety alongside Johnson, who you mentioned, Daniel, is Larry Worth, who we thought could be a nickel, but they're going with him at safety. Probably the better decision with that 6'4 frame. He's just big. You know, you want that. And then Tevis Metcalf, the other Metcalf brother, your second team nickel. We'll see how that goes. I think Danico Slaughter is just going to – I mean, he's played in the SEC. He's kind of just been the first team nickel, you know, as long as he's healthy, as long as he's been here. So I think it's going to be Danico Slaughter, but we'll see plenty of Tevis Metcalf, I think. So anything there? We're good?
Yeah, I mean, Danico is one of the, I think, maybe the fastest player on the team, according to the Catapult readings that they did over the offseason. Wow. Moving on.
And Jordan Anthony?
I don't know if he was the fastest. I know he was one of the fastest. Okay. I can't confirm fastest or not. I know he's fast, though.
I feel like Jordan Anthony has to be the fastest.
You would think. You would think so. Yeah. Moving on, though, Anthony Switzer, Bradley Shaw, that second team. You know, we kind of talked about Bradley Shaw last time and how, you know, he's kind of a silent but deadly player for the Razorbacks. I didn't know if he would, you know, he's been playing on that third team in fastball during fall camp. Seems like, you know, he's been doing good enough to at least be considered for that second team with Anthony Switzer, who, you know, is a very experienced linebacker transfer. So, I mean, you know, we knew Shaw was going to be talented coming into Arkansas, and clearly that talent is kind of showing itself. You know, he's already being considered for that second team.
Yeah. One of my four freshmen to watch is Bradley Shaw at linebacker. Also got Steven Dix. And then down on the D-line, you got Kiwi Rose, Ian Jaffrard at tackle, second team. Then Danny Saili listed at third team, but we've talked about how him and Jaffrard are kind of 1A, 1B, or I guess 2A, 2B. And then Quincy Rhodes. I like Quincy Rhodes, man, because June Koch is the or with Nico Davier. So Quincy Rhodes is going to play a decent bit as well. I think, I mean, you look at Quincy Rhodes and Landon Jackson there, you got two dudes who are basically 6'7", 280. That's just insane, crazy. Dude.
It's crazy. I mean,
and I was watching Hogs Plus, and I was watching the follow and the episode with Junior Carmona. In every single clip that they showed of him going against Landon Jackson, I was like, I don't know how he just like keeps going up and lining up against that guy every day, because it just looks absolutely miserable to have to try to block Landon Jackson play after play after play. And imagine being Carmona, and since the spring you've been having to do that crap. He probably cannot wait to go against whoever's going to line up against him from UAPB. No offense to whoever that is. You're just not going to be as good as Landon Jackson.
He's probably he might be a slight difference.
Yeah.
He's probably used to playing against Landon Jackson by now. I mean, it's been, you know, 3 months.
Yeah.
I guess collectively, whatever it is.
So let's move on to offense, because that's what everybody really cares about. I mean, there's some defense out there, but let's get to Bobby Petrino's second team offense. So Malachi Singleton, obviously the backup QB, but at running back, you got Braylon Russell or Rodney Hill. So I feel like we've kind of talked about this running back room and how so many just different skill sets, right? So I feel like that's why you got to have four different dudes here that could legit just have a rotation, right? Because they all do something different.
Yeah, and I mean, Braylon Russell is my guy, so I'm happy to see him on that second team. And, you know, kind of like you said, I feel like all the ors we have here at running back is just an excuse, a reason to list all five running backs, because the coaching staff, like you said, has just been talking about, you know, the versatility and how each player brings a different thing. I mean, you've got Jaquan and Jackson, Rashad DeBinion, who are more of your, like, workhorse-type running backs. Braylon Russell, I mean, the intriguing freshman. Rodney Hill, the pass catching, you know, a little bit quicker out of the backfield. And then Tyrell Reed, who's been – he was kind of compared a little bit to Dennis Johnson just in terms of build by Bobby Petrino. We'll see how good he is. But he's been called very fast. So, you know, you've got a lot of versatility. I like that running back room. I think it's, you know, maybe a dark horse running back room in the SEC. No one's really talking about it. But very talented, and it's five deep. So you like to see that in that running back spot.
Riley, have you ever been called very fast?
I have never been called very fast. I don't know if fast has ever been equated to me in any way throughout my entire life. So, no.
I played Legion baseball a little bit in high school, and my coach just would always tell me that I was fast, and that's why I played in the outfield, and that's why he only brought me in to bunt. But I knew that it was just because I sucked. But I do have to mention, though, Braylon Russell, being the Benton, Arkansas native, he's played in War Memorial Stadium plenty of times in that Salt Bowl game against Bryant. So that's worth noting. I guess, did he miss last year's Salt Bowl, though, Daniel? Do you remember? I know he was hurt a little bit.
I don't remember if it was the Salt Bowl. I know he had a high ankle sprain that he sustained at War Memorial. I can't remember if it was in the Salt Bowl or not. Which is probably something we should talk about. I know we're gonna get to the stadium debate
in a
minute, but he did miss quite a bit of time last year with some lingering injuries. So I really like his chances of becoming kind of a breakout freshman this year.
Yeah. Moving on offense, though, tight end Varquez Gums listed as the second team, and Ty Washington as the third team. And then they also have Andreas Pushka listed. So four tight ends listed, but you have true second team, third team with Gums and Washington. I had Washington over Gums in mine, to be honest.
Yeah, I feel like just after last season, and, you know, Washington played so well in that four game stretch, and Gums didn't really do a whole lot. You kind of maybe thought going into fall camp that'd be the situation. But, I mean, the way that the coaching staff has talked about Varquez Gums and the way he's kind of come on over the spring and now fall, I feel like, you know, maybe what you saw at North Texas when he was named a freshman All-American in that conference, I think, you know, maybe you might see that finally translate to the field in the SEC.
Yep. We'll see. Okay, wide receiver, and then we're going to hit O-line real quick, and then we'll move on. Monte Harrison. He is listed as a second-team wide receiver. Again, watching Hogs Plus, there's a lot of clips of Monte Harrison catching passes from Taylen Green. I'm just saying. Jordan Anthony listed with an or between him and C.J. Brown, so that was interesting. Haven't talked a ton about Jordan Anthony. We heard about him on Monday from Sam Pittman, Sounds like he might play more than we expected. So that could be good. I mean, we're a guy you're talking about, maybe one of the fastest, if not the fastest guy in the SEC, in Jordan Anthony. Legit track speed. He's that good. And then Isaac Dislaw listed as a second-team wide receiver again. And then the third team's Jaden Wilson, Davion Dozier, Chaufrey. I think it's Chaufrey Brown is how you pronounce it.
I think you're right, yeah.
So, man, you know, just a lot of unproven at wide receiver to me. Really, outside of Andrew Armstrong, everything is unproven, in my opinion. Right?
Yeah, I mean, Tyrone Broden, Satania last year, you know, you kind of hope you would have gotten more out of them. I feel like a lot of times with these transfers, maybe at the skill positions, it's the second year, or at least from the group of five, it's the second year that they kind of come along. Obviously, Andrew Armstrong was the exception, but I feel like Broden could be that second year guy that takes a big leap. Satania, we all know he's talented. I'm not going to dive deep into that. And then obviously, you know, you have a freshman, Monte Harrison, that's 29 years old. He's not proven. Jordan Anthony, transfer from Texas A&M. Bobby Petrino, you know, you said this last week, he thought highly enough of him to bring him over. Probably the fastest guy on the team. You can never have too many fast guys. Isaac Dislaw, you know, came from that. He came from Hillsdale, right? That's a community college.
No, it was a D2.
Was it Division II? Yeah. I get that mixed up all the time. And then you have CJ Brown, who's a freshman. So yeah, I kind of agree. Outside of Andrew Armstrong, a lot of unproven characters. And I mean, this UAPB game, you know, you probably won't be able to take a whole lot away. You know, we'll touch on Andrew Armstrong's health in a little bit, but it'll be interesting to see Taylen Green kind of connect with all these unproven receivers in the room.
Yep. I'm really high on CJ Brown this year. I was kind of high on him, you know, before he signed, but then, you know, watching him kind of perform in fall camp, he's one I think could be kind of a difference maker for the team this year.
Yeah.
Even as a freshman, which is not normal.
We're going to get into some Bet Saracen picks for the game later on. But if I could have a C.J. Brown to catch a pass of 50-plus yards, like it doesn't have to be like air yards, just like a 50-yard reception plus, I would take that for sure.
Yeah,
I feel good about C.J. Brown making a big play in this one.
Yeah, I saw him do that enough at Bentonville last year. So
yeah, he's just like he just somehow finds ways to find space. And that is something that you have to have as a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Moving on to offensive line. So we did mention Kudus and Harris, but they really have just listed their top eight guys here. So you got Fernando Carmona at left tackle. We mentioned Kudus and Harris at left guard. So that's three. Harris is also listed as your backup left tackle. So that's your whole left side right there, three guys. Addison Nichols at center. Amari Wiggins, backup center. Joshua Braun, right guard. Tyquese Crawford, backup right guard. Keyshawn Blackstock, starting right tackle. And Joe Moore, the transfer from Syracuse, backup right tackle. I feel good about that eight, right? I mean, that eight. But Tyquese Crawford is just always an injury away. He's so injury prone. We don't really know what we're going to get from Joe Moore. I wouldn't feel great if Amari Wiggins was my starting center. Yeah. So maybe I don't feel good about this eight, like I said.
Yeah, there's actually nine listed here. Sorry to correct you, but
that's my bad.
I kind of agree with you. I mean, you're one injury away from this being kind of sketchy. You know, Amarion Harris. I'm never gonna get that right. Being your backup,
it's Emarion.
Emarion Harris being your backup guard and left tackle is. I mean, I feel like that kind of paints the picture a little bit. You know, Amari Wiggins, he kind of worked at guard during fall camp a little bit too. Tyquese Crawford's, like you said, an injury away. So, for me, you know, I know that Sam Pittman, Eric Mateos, they've felt good about this offensive line. They felt good about the depth. But just looking at this depth chart right now, I'm a little bit worried season long. You know, we'll see how it plays out. But, you know, you're one injury away from things getting pretty interesting.
Yeah, I feel really good about about five of these nine that are listed. But, yeah, I mean, you're one injury away from, you know, all hell breaking loose. And, Getting into last season territory.
I think I feel good about six if you add Emarion Harris. See, I just did it.
Right.
I think that's what I've been calling him for like 4 years now. So, but yeah, I would feel good about that six. So, yeah. And Tyquese Crawford, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. I should clarify. I feel good about the five they'll roll out there tomorrow night.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel good about Kudus.
We feel good about them on paper. We'll see again how they do against an FCS team in week one. Yeah. Okay, That's the depth chart, folks. That's it. All right. Finally. Before we move on, I want to remind you about hogbeat.com, HAWGBEAT.com. That is what powers all of this. It is the Rivals website. It is our website. I'm the publisher. Riley's the managing editor. Daniel, what title do you want? Because you're not really the football recruiting guy anymore.
I mean, you can just call me the staff writer, I guess.
Okay. Daniel's the staff writer. And we also have Jackson Collier, who does a great job with basketball. Everybody knows JC Hoops. And then we got some other people helping us out as well. Shout out Jax Crawl, our intern. He's not technically an intern. He's helping us out this fall. He did a great job helping us in the spring. So excited to have Jax with us. Played high school football in Texas. He was an O-lineman. I think the dude ahead of him was like a 4 or 5 star that ended up going to A&M. I can't remember his name. And then he also, Jax plays for the UA rugby club team. So he's a tough dude.
My sister played for the women's rugby club team when she was in school.
I can't imagine it, dude. I mean, he would show up to practice and just like bruises all over his face and his arms. And I was like, dude, you look like you just got in a fight on the street. But shout out to Jax Crawl and shout out to hogbeat.com. Please check it out. Thank you to everybody who checks us out. You can also see if you're watching on the YouTube, scrolling on the bottom. We got our Twitters, all the details that you need throughout the entire show. So, and check out our YouTube if you want to watch it. Actually, don't check out our YouTube. Check out hogbeat.com, and then you will find the YouTube link on hogbeat.com. All right. Let's get into the captain situation. So, Arkansas is not announcing 4 captains or however many captains they want before the season. Pittman is basically doing what Georgia does, but not exactly. Georgia names their captains after the season. What they're going to do is have 4 different captains every game, I guess. And so the first 4 captains for the Little Rock game are going to be Amarion Harris, the Little Rock native, Nico Davier, Adam Maumel, and then Isaiah Satania from Fayetteville. What was the last one? Darn it.
Eric Gregory,
the D-tackle. Where's Eric Gregory from?
I want to say he went to IMG Academy, but I don't remember where he's from.
Out of Memphis.
Makes sense.
Not far from Little Rock either. Those are your 4 starters for the UAPB game, but I think it's cool. I think Pittman's reasoning is okay because he's basically saying, you know, we have so many transfers and new guys that it's like, how can you really know who your captains are going to be until you are in the thick of it, until you face some adversity and really see who your leaders are. And so I'm okay with it. I mean, you know, guys like to have the C on their chest, but this is, I really don't think it's that big of a deal. Do either of you?
No, I don't. I mean, on paper, I agree. Like, not that big of a deal. You know, last season they had, I think they had 6 team captains before the year named. And, you know, I know some fans, I saw on our board say that if you have 6 team captains, you don't actually have any, just because, you know, that's just a lot of players to be named a captain. And so you kind of, you know, that could be kind of compared to this situation. But I mean, you know, listening to Landon Jackson and Fernando Carmona Jr. yesterday, they really said that there's a ton of leaders on this team, a lot of experience, you know, with those transfers. And so giving multiple guys the opportunity to play and be the captain for, you know, games when, you know, like this Little Rock, E. Marion Harris. Nico Davier, Isaiah Satania, those are all Arkansas natives that played in and around Little Rock. Giving those guys to be the team captain for a game that probably means a little bit more to them, I think that's totally fine on paper.
Yep. Yeah, I'm fine with it. I feel like, and if I remember correctly, I believe the Chicago Bears also do game-by-game captains as well. I don't have a problem with it. I feel like probably like 5 or 6 weeks into the year, they'll have like a consistent 4 guys. That they'll roll out there.
I don't know, man, because I want to say Pittman has been talking about how they're going to get 40 to 48 guys if you have a 12 game schedule. So I think like his goal maybe is to let different guys have an opportunity to be a captain. Maybe they get to the point where they're like, all right, we've had 30 guys now, and we just do not feel like we have another 18 guys who are worthy of being captains, and then they repeat some, but I do think that he maybe wants to just use this as an opportunity to just like let everybody get some recognition, you know, maybe they throw out some walk-ons for some home games at Razorback Stadium. I don't even know if that's possible or legal according to NCAA rules if they're not going to actually be eligible to play in the game. But
is the NCAA actually going to do anything though?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if y'all watched the Stallions documentary, but
did not.
The NCAA will apparently just like do whatever the heck they want and nothing will happen to them. So, and which everybody knew that. It's just they got exposed more. So yeah. good documentary. Check it out on Netflix. All right. So that is the captain thing. Let's get to the injury report because it's not super long. We've talked about Kudus. He's got the back issue since the second practice of fall camp. So he's not going to play in this one. Now, we heard that Andrew Armstrong's not going to start, which is interesting. Pittman has not confirmed what exactly it is that Armstrong's dealing with. I'm guessing that it's still the hamstring that he had bothering him in fall camp. But it sounds like he's going to play. I just don't know how much. And then Rashad DeBinion, who, again, Sam Pittman didn't reveal what exactly he's dealing with currently, but he dealt with knee swelling during fall camp, so I would assume that it might have to do with that. And it sounds like Rashad DeBinion. What do you say, Riley, about DeBinion?
He said Rashad will play, and we feel like he's healthy enough. So, you know, I expect Rashad to play. I don't really see, you know, that being too big of a deal. As far as Armstrong, Pittman did say he doesn't know if Andrew's quite ready and that he certainly won't start. So, you know, kind of going back to what I said earlier with all those unproven characters in the wide receiver room, I think this could serve as a good opportunity for some guys to kind of play even more than they normally would and start forming that relationship with Taylen Green.
Yep.
Yeah, and I mean, no disrespect to UAPB here, but do you really want to put a guy that's dealing with knee swelling on the turf at War Memorial Stadium?
I wouldn't.
That's true.
No. I mean,
I wouldn't.
I think back to 2018 when Ty Story and Rakeem Boyd both got hurt in that Ole Miss game in 2018.
Yep.
Or last year, Rocket Sanders gets hurt.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, would it be good for them to get, you know, some run, get some experience with, you know, a new look offense? Probably. But, I mean, the real, like, start of the season as far as, like, competition level starts, you know, 10 days from now against Oklahoma State. So I don't know that if I were Sam Pittman and he makes more money than I do and he's probably smarter than I am, I wouldn't roll out DeBinion out there. I might give him, you know, one series, but I just wouldn't want to risk anything like that.
Yeah. I don't know, but at the same time, it's like, you know, DeBinion hasn't played in a while. What he missed, he definitely missed the last game of the season against Missouri because he had some season ending injury, MCL maybe. And I don't know, but you also want to get your guy out in some live action as well. So we'll see what happens. They probably won't play him a ton. Like we mentioned with the running back room, there's a lot of options there. So let's move it along here on Hogbeat Radio. Let's talk about UAPB boys, the Golden Lions of Arkansas Pine Bluff. Not a ton to talk about here. No offense, Golden Lions. There was a quote earlier in the week, Riley, if you want to talk about the quote that you wrote that went viral.
Yeah, so I believe it was UAPB wide receiver Javonte Gibson, who transferred, I believe, over the offseason from Arkansas Monticello. He called out the Arkansas secondary. I should put it point blank. He said that, you know, the secondary, just looking at film, was slow but big. Big but slow was what he said, and that his team has a lot of fast receivers. Their quarterback, Mekhi Hagins, can throw the deep ball. And, you know, he felt pretty good. And just based off what he said, it seems like he feels pretty good that, you know, their offense can take advantage of slow secondary. Does that actually happen? I don't think so. But, I mean, we'll see. If that happens, if the Arkansas secondary gives up some long bombs, it might be a long year.
Yeah. No, yeah. I agree. Hey, Riley, I'm going to have to correct you again, man. It's Monticello.
Monticello.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I can't pronounce things. So
I hate having to do that, man. I don't want to have to do that to you, but we gotta be correct.
I've never been to Monticello.
Yeah, the boll weevils. The
boll weevils. Yeah.
Yeah, the boll weevils. That, by the way, at UAPB, two of their wide receivers are transfers from Arkansas Monticello. So, and then obviously Mekhi Hagins, the QB. What, Riley? You did the research. He was the only 3-star on their roster. Is that correct?
Yep. Well, only projected starter. That's a 3-star.
Okay.
But I would assume if that's the case, then there's probably not any other 3-stars on the roster.
Yeah. Look, UAPV, I like Alonzo Hampton. He seems like a good guy, the second-year head coach. They brought in a really good offensive coordinator from Grambling State in Tony Hull, who, last year Grambling's offense was probably the best in the SWAC. So, they have the pieces, at least on the coaching staff. I think defensively, I don't really know what they did a ton to improve from last year on a defense that wasn't that great. But I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm a UAPB expert either. So let's just face the facts, folks. This is a tune-up game for Arkansas. It's a good opportunity for UAPB to play an in-state team. Like, this is cool. I like this. I'm in favor of Arkansas playing in-state teams. And, that's about all I got to say. I mean, look, UAPB has four captains, and one of them is the kicker and one of them is the punter. So
yeah. To also kind of put it in perspective, I did the math. The Razorbacks outweigh the Golden Lions by 52 pounds on the defensive line and just about 31 pounds on the offensive line. So, you know, going back to what you said earlier, this should be a game that Arkansas dominates on both sides of the football in the trenches.
Yeah. You know, when Arkansas faces these FCS teams where we can't, like, do the star comparison story and we got to do the size comparison story.
Yeah.
You're kind of trending on rough ground there, Riley, with the headline, huh?
Yeah, yeah. It gets a little bit sketchy.
Yeah. All right. So that's anything else about UAPB, guys? Look, that's what do you want us to do?
No. there's not much. I'll give a shout out to one defensive player. He was named preseason Phil Steele, All SWAC, third team member Khalil Arnold, a redshirt sophomore linebacker. He had 40 total tackles, 8 tackles for loss, 4 sacks, some forced fumbles in 10 games last year. He's a pretty good SWAC player. We'll see how that matches up against Arkansas running backs. But, you know, I got to give a shout-out to at least one defensive player.
I have some breaking news, guys. This just came across the timeline. Jashad Stewart, former Arkansas defensive end, has weighed in on Ashton Noe being placed on scholarship.
Oh, boy. What'd he say?
He says, Ashton, pretty talented, I think. He played linebacker in high school. He fast and strong. I seen him firsthand in the weight room.
He did play linebacker in high school.
So you should feel great about
Ashton. That's high praise.
Thanks, Jashad. All right.
He was a good linebacker in high school, too.
Okay. I mean, you want that dude to have a little bit of strength there in the middle when he's snapping it long, if you know what I mean. I do want to mention UAPB did put out a video, if you missed it, on socials. They put two guys on scholarship this week, so those videos are always cool when guys go on scholarship. So shout out Booth Larkin, their long snappers. So two long snappers for Arkansas, for college football teams in the state of Arkansas going on scholarship this week. Big news. And then Zach Williams, who is a corner at UAPB, he also went on scholarship. So shout out those two guys. Congrats to them. All right, we talked about UAPB. One last thing before we get to the great stadium debate. Everybody wants to hear about the great stadium debate that happens every year, and the same thing is said every time. But we're going to do it anyways. But before we get to it, Arkansas is closing practices this fall. If you haven't heard, I think we've talked about it on this show before. But I thought Sam Pittman's reasoning was good. Like, when I didn't really know, like, why they were doing it, I was like, well, I would like to be able to go to practice. But Pittman basically said it's a critical year for him. You know, sometimes the media goes out to practice and we report what we see, but sometimes what we see is not exactly accurate of what would happen in a game. And what I mean by that is, like, for example, maybe we go to practice and KJ Jackson is running as the first team quarterback because they just don't want Taylen Green and Malachi Singleton to go through fastball that day. And we have to write KJ Jackson is the first team quarterback. And then people are like, what's going on here? Is there a quarterback competition? No, it's just fastball. And that's just what they're doing. So I understand it from Sam Pittman's perspective. They're trying to keep everything as tight and in-house as they can while they try to realistically, he's just trying to save his job this year. So,
yeah, kind of piggybacking off what you're saying, you know, he even said this is a critical year for us, and we all know that. And public perception plays such a big role in stuff like this. And I feel like, you know, last year, whenever Arkansas was really struggling, all the fans, you know, they had their pitchforks out, and the media is kind of reporting on what they see. And like you said, what you see in those practices in those short periods of practice isn't necessarily what is actually happening. It kind of just makes a firestorm of bad vibes. And so I, you know, kind of agreeing with you, I get it from Pittman's point of view. I mean, obviously we would like to be at practice, but I think for the long-term health of the football program this season, it makes sense from their point of view.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Arkansas one of the only teams in the SEC that allows media to view practices? So, I mean, is there that much of an advantage to be gained? Probably not, as far as you know pre-game scouting. But yeah, I agree with Riley. I mean, the vibes, you know, keeping the vibes up is kind of the most important thing in what is a critical year where Sam Pittman's trying to save his job. So I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, after this sign stealing documentary, and I don't know if you guys didn't watch it. I don't know if a ton of the listeners watched it, but you know, I personally did not realize how big of a network of college football, like underground analysts for teams, are studying every little thing that comes out. And that could be they're studying our practice video, and maybe there's some signal that a defender is doing during fastball, and we put that film out, and another team gets that. And obviously they're going to change the signals, but they have an idea of what's going on, and Arkansas just wants to avoid that probably. So yeah. I did find the quote about him saying, we understand that you have a job to do and that media is part of our family. Sometimes we like it, sometimes we don't, but you are part of Hog and part of our family. I don't think he believed that when he said it.
No, he definitely didn't.
I didn't believe it when he said it either.
Yeah. And I'm not mad about it, but I understand what this is. So, but yeah. Wait,
if we're a part of the family, does that mean we can get their insurance benefits too?
Yeah. we're definitely not a part of the family. So just leave it at that. All right, let's transition to the great stadium debate, guys. We got to get to it, but I'm gonna make the people, and I'm gonna make you guys wait a little bit longer, because I'm gonna tell you about Bet Saracen. Bet Saracen is the official mobile sports gambling partner of Hogbeat.com, and you can download it if you are in the state of Arkansas. So if you're gonna be at War Memorial, make sure you download Bet Saracen, get in on some of those player props. Now I asked the guys to bring me some lock picks for the weekend so that you guys can make some money, and if you don't, you can blame it on them. Okay, I'm not giving a pick because I don't want to get blamed. Riley, give your pick.
All right, I'll go first. I'm going to give an Arkansas one. I haven't done enough research in the other slate of games to give a great choice. But because Andrew Armstrong, you know, maybe is a little bit more questionable than you would like, I kind of like to see maybe Luke has over three. You know, he's been a go-to receiver. I think he's going to have a big year. I think with Armstrong out, he might be the next most reliable option for Taylen Green. Luke has over 3.5 receptions and over or just to catch a touchdown pass is at +145 odds. I mean, Luke has big time player. He's had big time games against much tougher competition. I think he's going to be a go-to guy in this game for Taylen Green, reliable option. I think that's an easy cash.
Daniel? Yep.
I was going to go just out to the college football world. I was going to say North Dakota State. I believe they're +8 right now. I like that, or 9.5. I like North Dakota State over or against Colorado to go to cover there. Headed to Arkansas, though, I'm looking at the – I don't think that the Hogs will cover this. It was 52.5.
It's 48.5 on Bet Saracen.
Yeah, it's continued to drop.
It's been dropped.
Yeah. Oh, no.
It's probably the Ashton No news. That's got to be what it is.
Yeah. Absolutely. I don't like that 48-point spread. But Arkansas does have a first half spread of 28.5, and I do like that one.
Where is that at? What is the odds on that?
Well, it's -115, but I like that one as a safe bet. I feel like back in 2021 is when they shortened the quarters in the second half, just to try to get everybody out of there. So I don't, if that ends up being the situation tomorrow night, I'm not sure, but I do like the Hogs -28.5 in the first half.
Okay. I said I wasn't going to make a do what?
I was going to say I like that one. I also have another pick, but I'll let you go first because you might take mine.
Yeah, I said I wasn't going to take a pick, but I'm looking, and I mean, this looks like cash money to me. Isaiah Cetania, total receptions over 2.5 and total receiving yards over 44.5. I mean, he could get He could get the 44 and a half on one catch, and then he just needs two more. And I mean, he's gonna I don't know though. How many times have we said that Isaiah Satania is gonna do something true. And he doesn't? So
that's true.
We'll see though.
Wait, there is kind of a I'm definitely not putting any money on this. This is kind of crazy one to me. What do you guys think about the Arkansas team offense touchdowns over 7.5? One defensive touchdown and a special teams touchdown. You got that's 10 total touchdowns. So that'd be 70 points.
Sam Pittman has too much class to run it up on an in-state school like that.
It's got plus 3,000 odds, so you would make a ton of money if it.
Yeah, I just thought that was super interesting.
I might do it.
Matthew Shipley total field goals over 1.5 and longest field goal made over 49.5. You think Shipley hits a 50 yarder?
He has some long bombs in practice, man, in the stadium. I mean, you know, they talked about how he's hit a couple 50 yarders. So I don't know if the Arkansas offense, Bobby Petrino, will settle for stuff like that. You know, they might just push it down the field. I don't know if they would ever be in a situation where they'd have to kick a field goal that long. But I don't know. Maybe they do some situational work and give him an opportunity to kick one like that.
Here's a prop bet. Braylon Russell, total number of carries over 7.5 and over 1.5 touchdowns.
If it was one touchdown, I would take it.
Yeah.
But you're telling me Braylon Russell in his collegiate debut is going to get two rushing touchdowns? I could see it happening, but I wouldn't want to bet on that.
No. I'm tempted by it, but yeah. I probably won't. I'm probably not going to throw that one on there. I just thought that was interesting.
All right. Well, please gamble responsibly. We do not guarantee that any of those bets hit, but they're fun. And please check out Bet Saracen. You don't have to gamble, but you can check them out if you want. So you don't even have to download the app. You can just go on the website and check it out as well. So a lot of cool stuff on Bet Saracen, and thank you to them. All right. Let's do it. Great stadium debate. Should Arkansas keep playing at War Memorial Stadium? The answer is and should always be no. I'm a Central Arkansas guy, too. I'm from Conway. Like, I say this every time I talk about this. I grew up, born and raised Conway, Arkansas. Basically, my whole childhood was going to games at War Memorial way more often than the games in Fayetteville. And so the place is special to me. It means a lot to me. I mean, but it makes no sense for you to play there. Why would you play there? Not only are you selling 30,000 less tickets, 30,000, 40,000 less tickets. It's not a great venue anymore. Your guys get hurt there all the time. You got to bus down there. They won't even fly them down. They're going to bus them down. Recruiting aspect of it, Daniel, you can talk about that a little bit more, but the recruiting aspect of it is maybe even the worst part because it's a home game. You're losing a weekend for recruiting, Daniel. You want to talk about that a little bit more?
Yeah, that's you're already, and I wrote about this yesterday, but you're already behind the eight ball. In terms of, you know, having to recruit off of a 4-8 season, and just to have one more opportunity that's gone to host recruits, you know, I don't know that the level of recruit that they would get. I mean, I don't think they're going to get a 5-star to take a visit in week one, but I mean, you need every advantage you can get, and one less recruiting weekend does nothing to help you. This year, I believe there was a report that came out this year. They can give the tickets to recruits who want to come, but they can't. They still can't make contact with them. So, I mean, what purpose does that serve other than just to be able to let a recruit come in to what's not a great venue already and watch a team, you know, blister UAPB by 50 points or whatever it ends up being, you know. And on top of that, it's a Thursday night kickoff. So like any recruit that's gonna wanna come to a game is already probably not gonna go because I mean the Arkansas high school football season starts on Friday, and with a 6:30 kick, kids are getting out of practice 5-6 o'clock. There's just not the logistics don't make sense, and so I'm with you. I think they need to stop playing in Little Rock. It sucks because there's been some fantastic games there. You know, Miracle on Markham. You know, fantastic games that have been played at Little Rock, but it's time to let her sleep. It's time to put War Memorial to bed.
The only good thing is the tailgating at this point. And even even that's not as good anymore because the golf course isn't what it used to be.
Yeah. Right. I haven't been to War Memorial in like 6 years. So
you're not, it's literally the same. Like they keep saying that they've upgraded blah blah blah. Like they, I think they upgraded the scoreboard at one point. So that works better. I don't remember the last time they replaced the turf, but Riley, what were you gonna say?
Yeah, I mean, last year was my first time ever going to War Memorial Stadium. And just, you know, all the fans' reactions after the game about just the experience, like the long lines, not being any water. I mean, that's not even talking about the stuff on the field, right? I mean, you touched on it with the injuries. Arkansas has had some bad luck there. And I mean, even Pittman said it himself, to be honest with you, I just don't know that's fair to the fans playing in War Memorial Stadium when, I mean, the home field for the Razorbacks is in Fayetteville. That's where they play. I think, you know, War Memorial Stadium's outdated. I think it's time, you know, they got the recruiting disadvantage. Everything about playing in War Memorial Stadium in this day and age of college football is working against Arkansas. And for Arkansas, a program that, you know, is kind of struggling to find its footing in the SEC again, I think, you know, you've got to get every advantage you can on your side. It's time to move on.
Yeah.
And real quick, I mean, hopping back to just, you know, those great moments that we've had. Bo Mattingly talked about it on the Chuck and Bo show yesterday morning. Like those moments are fantastic, right? London Crawford catching the game winner, you know. But how much better would those be if there's an extra 30,000 people in the stands? You know, an extra 15, 20, 25,000 people in the stands. And, you know, like I said, it's time to let her sleep.
Back in those days, though, like War Memorial was like a legit hard place to play. I want to say it was Mike Leach at one point said that like when he played at War Memorial, it was like one of the hardest atmospheres he's ever experienced. But I mean, Sam Pittman, Riley, you kind of hit on it. Sam basically said like what he said. They know where the University of Arkansas is. It's in Fayetteville. And right. And what did the argument used to be that it was difficult to get to Fayetteville from other points in the state? And that's just not really the case anymore. It's not as difficult to get to Fayetteville as it used to be. Now, we understand that getting to Fayetteville is more difficult than getting to Little Rock from other places in the state, but that's where the university is. That's just the reality of the situation. And you have incredible facilities, top-of-the-line facilities for SEC football in Fayetteville, Arkansas. So I don't think you need to go down to Little Rock anymore. I think most people agree with that. I understand the people who like still enjoy the games. Like next year's matchup, like Arkansas and Arkansas State at War Memorial, that's a cool matchup because you're kind of meeting in the middle there, right? It's a little bit different with the UAPB game because it's an FCS team. Arkansas doesn't gain a ton from that. I still don't think that they should be playing there, but I think that the matchup against Arkansas State there is like the only game where I would be like, ah, you can play there. You can play Arkansas State at War Memorial. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I agree. Like if you're gonna play there, at least make it, you know, a halfway decent matchup. That, you know, there's already so many things going against you there, but playing UAPB, with all due respect to the Golden Lions, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And I mean, it looks like the future, you know, according to Sam Pittman, you know, they said they're having conversations about, you know, how long they'll be playing at War Memorial Stadium after playing Arkansas State next year. So, I mean, we'll see.
Yeah. We'll be keeping an eye on that moving forward. I mean, just the fact that four of their first five games are away from home this year is absolutely insane.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's you really have to feel for Pittman in that situation. Because that's out of his control, too. Like, he didn't decide to go play at War Memorial, and he definitely didn't decide to go play at AT&T Stadium in Arlington.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit cooler. But still, even that should be a home and home. I would much rather go to College Station to watch that game than Dallas.
Yeah, it's a crucial year, and I think their first SEC home game is against Tennessee, right? And that's a Tennessee team that's coming up a bye week. That's your first conference game after what is going to be a tough stretch. So a lot of things kind of working against Pittman as far as scheduling goes.
Yeah. All right. Let's see here. What else we got on the slate? I think that's about it, guys. I think we about covered it.
Yeah.
Anything else to add? I mean, the offense, man, I liked what Junior Carmona had to say. If we want to wrap it up here with just moving forward into Thursday, Junior Carmona hit it. He said, Taylen Green's going to drop bombs. You can best believe that. He also said that the offense is hitting on all cylinders right now. It's flowing, and we're going to see an exciting show come Thursday with a lot of deep balls. So, I hope we see a lot of deep balls. That would be awesome, dude.
Yeah. What was it against Western Carolina? Who had the big touchdown? It was like the first play of the game or something like that. Bryce Stevens took a screen pass. Jaden Wilson took a pass from the flat, 60 yards for a touchdown really early in that game. So, I mean,
wasn't that the first play that Dan Enos ran the last time he was at Arkansas? Was a bubble screen for a touchdown?
I don't remember about that.
I don't know about that. I mean, that wouldn't surprise me, but
yeah,
I've slept since then. I'll be honest. Yeah,
Daniel, by the way, never say that name on this podcast again. Not podcast, show. It's not a podcast.
Show.
I'm just kidding.
I had to let it go once. Sorry. Yeah.
Let's do this real quick before we end. Who scores the first touchdown for Arkansas? Because last year, nobody predicted it was going to be Jaden Wilson. Nobody. And if you did, you're lying because you did not.
I'm going to let Daniel go first. I got to think about it.
Okay.
No, I got to think about it. Mason, you go first.
Jaquinnon Jackson.
Right. Oh, that's so basic.
Dude, are we trying to make a pick that's going to be accurate and correct, or are we trying to make
that's what I did last year, and then it was Jaden Wilson. So I feel like I kind of – I need to go in between. I do not remember, but it definitely was Jaden Wilson. I'll kind of go, you know – that's tough. Tyrone Broden. Mason, by the way, Daniel, Mason has been probably the biggest hater of Tyrone Broden this entire – fall camp. I mean, every chance he gets, it's just like, it's just hate. So I'm gonna go with Tyrone Broden. He's gonna get that first touchdown.
Give me Isaiah Satania. I'll go one further. I think it'll be Isaiah Satania on a play action pass, just cutting across the field, and he turns it up.
Okay, you've been playing too much college football 25, Daniel.
I actually have. Yes, it's
you know, none of us picked Taylen Green to score that first touchdown, which I think, I mean, He could like just run for a touchdown on the first play. Like that wouldn't surprise me.
Taylen said he's got the first play. Bobby's already given him the first play. So it's got to make you feel like it's probably a good one. So,
okay, hear me out for a second. First play wheel route to Jaquinden Jackson.
Would the wheel route go to Jackson, or would we want to go into DeBinion or what if they come out? You mentioned the two running back set, Daniel. They come out. They go two sidecars. They got Taylen Green, Jaquinden Jackson, and then if DeBinion's healthy, if not, you probably want to go Ronnie Hill, although we have heard that Braylon Russell can catch the ball well. And then, that would be fun. I would like that.
That'd be an electric way to start the season.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we got it, boys. Oh, last thing about the stadium debate that I wanted to mention, and we've kind of moved on from this, but – Taylen Green did talk about how a lot of like the old highlights that Bobby has shown them, a lot of those are at War Memorial Stadium. Like you think back to the Mallett years when Mallett had some big games, that LSU game in 2010. The last game that Bobby Petrino coached Arkansas at War Memorial Stadium was like a 44-17 win over Mississippi State, and Tyler Wilson threw for 365 yards and 3 touchdowns. So Bobby P is going to be back at War Memorial Stadium. I think maybe Bobby Petrino will change all of our minds on War Memorial because it's just like something special with him at that stadium. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, just a reminder, you know, I know we kind of have been talking about Bobby Petrino all offseason, but we finally – he's going to coach a game for the Razorbacks again tomorrow. Like just let that sink in. Pretty crazy.
Yeah. So
28 hours from now, actually.
Make sure you check out hogbeat.com, HAWGBEAT.com. We will have live coverage throughout the game, ton of post-game coverage, not only after the game, but the days following. We'll have Pro Football Focus grades for Arkansas, snap counts, everything that you want to know after the game. We will have it covered for you, press conference, everything. Check us out, hogbeat.com. Thank you, Riley. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Hogbeat Radio. We enjoy doing this, and we're going to keep doing it. We're going to keep doing our jobs. We're going to keep grinding. We're going to keep having a good time doing it. So thank you to everybody for supporting us. We really, really, really appreciate it. And we will talk to you next week.